Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There Voice of the People radio show on the Truth Is Out There Voice of the People media network on Block Talk Radio. And, of course, you can always check us out on our web at thetruthisthetruth.net. We got an exciting show. Let me introduce you to our co-host, and then we got a special guest. So how are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing great. Excellent day. Accomplished a lot. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing great. Everything's moving forward. And we got a very good guest today. It's very important. It's apropos. It's important because our view is of conservatives was under attack. And we got a nice, special young lady here who's a fighter. In fact, she's been on both Newsmax and OANN and others. Her name is Gloria Giammo. She is a conservative Christian author and activist. She's the head of United Women Foundation, and she's got a big book out there that actually is being censored by the left called Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. Let me bring on our guest, Gloria Giammo. How are you doing, Gloria?
I'm well. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm going to tell you something. We had a little discussion just before the show started. Can you explain the situation that got you going to write this book and a little bit about you?
Sure. My son was student body president at Belmont University in Tennessee in 2020. And everything was fine up until he put a post on his personal public Instagram page on the 4th of July in 2020, thanking our forefathers for our freedoms. And the picture he put on was a picture of him standing in front of a White House. We had just been to D.C. a year prior. And we thought the 4th of July holiday. He was just celebrating it. And that is the point of the 4th of July, to thank our forefathers and those who keep us a free country, or so we thought. We were mistaken. There were about 300 comments. It's still there. You can look at it. 300 comments, mostly negative, including telling my son to go kill himself, calling him a racist, telling him he should resign immediately. We had no idea where this hate was coming from. I mean, the 4th of July is something we all celebrate as Americans, but that's what started this. The next day, we found out that there was a change.org petition, still up there, a change.org petition against our son, and some Belmont students wanted him removed because he was celebrating a covertly racist holiday. So the 4th of July in America now is a covertly racist holiday. So my son is labeled a racist.
That proves, again, how much the, well, I don't even call them Democrats, but they are the Democrats slash communists, and the far left crowd hates this country. They'll do anything to destroy this country and silence us and everything.
You know what's interesting about that is that they have the freedom to express that. That's what the Constitution gives you.
Yes, but my son also has that right to that freedom.
Right.
And when he expressed himself,
exactly.
He was met with negativity. So he took, he followed the handbook, and he took all this. I mean, go kill yourself as a parent. You can't take that lightly. So my son took everything, and he took it into, you know, he sent it along. He forwarded an email along to the powers that be that Belmont handbook says to do, and no one did anything. I made a phone call to the university president. Belmont University is a small school. So I reached out to the university president. His assistant told me they knew there was something going on social media with my son and that the president would get back to me. He never did. However, a couple days later, an attorney called me and said, "Are you suing Belmont?" "No, I'm not suing you. I'm trying to find out what you're going to do to keep my son safe when they're back on campus," because obviously, you know, with COVID, we had no idea when they'd be going back. But I wanted to know, what was Belmont University going to do to ensure my son's safety? So the attorney told me pretty much that somebody else would get back to me, and that was it. No one got back to me. Well, we get to mid to the end of August. They're supposed to go back to school. No one has still reached out to us. So I asked campus security to do a Zoom call because, yes, at that time my son had COVID, so he was quarantined in a different area. And so we wanted to do a Zoom call because the university was not allowing anybody on campus. And so we did meet with campus security. And I offered to bring in a private security firm because they were not offering us anything. And they decided that they did not want any stranger on campus with a gun. I understand. But they told my son that he would not be able to park his car anywhere on campus because they could not guarantee it would be safe.
So
that tells you everything.
Belmont College. Do they have people that give them money and grants to operate their college?
Most likely. I mean, it's a private conservative Christian university, but most likely they're taking it from somewhere. But nonetheless, as a Christian conservative university, Belmont University endorsed Black Lives Matter. Our son refused to as student body president. We are Gold Star family members. We will never endorse an organization that's killing the police, that's burning cities and rioting. We will never do that. So his fraternity, he was also in a fraternity there, and his fraternity, they endorsed BLM. So pretty much it didn't matter that it was a conservative Christian university. Everyone across the board except for my son endorsed it. And to be honest with you, the position of student body president is not political. Although our son, I mean, you can look at his LinkedIn, you can look at his Instagram. Yes, our son, everyone knew our son was a Republican. Everyone knew we're conservative Republicans. Everybody knows that. My son had worked for many of our candidates, our senators. And also, he was the Williamson County chair for Young Republicans. My son serves right now as the Tennessee Young Republican chair for our state, and we're very proud of him. So he was endorsed when he ran for president by the college Dems and college Republicans. He got 97% of a vote. So you have to wonder what exactly happened that made these kids turn on him, but administration did nothing to protect our son. They actually told our son, you know, try not to attend classes, try to do Zoom throughout the semester, and things will die down. So they discouraged our son from attending college, but they did nothing. And some of these kids put their real names out there. I'll give you an example. There is a young woman who worked at a fast food establishment that my son frequented every morning to pick up some sweet tea. And she put in a college Dems group me chat that she had been putting gross stuff in our son's drink every day that he came in there. I have no idea what gross stuff is. We don't want to know.
Most likely she's probably spinning it.
Probably. We don't know. I can't even speculate. However, I think that the school, my son turned that in. Once again, my son is a rule follower. Once again, he turned everything in to who he was supposed to. The powers that be did absolutely nothing except one thing to this young lady whose real name was used. Guess what they did? They accepted her to Belmont Law School. So,
That's crazy. It really is.
Is an understatement. I mean, his fraternity got into it. They told him they would, the fraternity told him that they would destroy him. And my son is in politics, that they would destroy him. And they would end his career, basically. But, you know, our son is a fighter, and he left his fraternity. They said they were going to kick him out. They wanted him to endorse BLM. He said, absolutely not. And they said, we're going to have to kick you out. And he said, I quit. And so once again, he did all the paperwork, and he provided it to Belmont. Belmont did nothing. Not only Belmont, nobody from the fraternity followed up, nobody from National followed up, and nobody from Belmont. So pretty much my son was, you know, he was on his own with this one. And, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And I did have the privilege or the experience, shall we say, of attending school in a communist country when I was in first grade. And I was born in this country, and I lived in communist Yugoslavia, the former. And I attended first grade there, and I can tell you that every day I had 1,000, now this is 1972, I had $1,000 in my backpack. And I knew if civil unrest broke out, I knew to get into a cab and tell them exactly where to take me. And I was supposed to go to the border of Yugoslavia and Italy, and my aunt would meet me there. My parents would come when they were able. I also knew that every day when I saw that police officer on that corner before I made that right turn to get into my school, he was not there to protect me. He was there to make sure that there was no uprising against communism, and no one talked about Josip Tito, who was the dictator when I lived there. So the way that my son was silenced at Belmont University is exactly what I saw going on in communist Yugoslavia.
And your son is not the only one that's being silenced like that. And we could go to talk about that. I think it's 11 or 13-year-old kid that had a backpack that was a Gaza flag on it. Don't tread on me. He was being silenced, but he was a fighter just like his son. And now he's back at school. The thing is, we need more people to stand up. And you wrote a book on this. And tell us about the book.
Well, the book Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative, has everything that I have said to you and more in great detail. I did not want anybody to be left guessing. She said, he said type of book. I have every fact documented. I have every screenshot. I have every change.org petition. I have supplied you with every transcript of the fraternity and the Zoom call. I have supplied you with what administration was saying about my son, what the president emailed my son. Every piece of evidence is in the book. because I am fortunate enough to live in the great state of Tennessee. We are a one-party consent state. You can record any conversation. You can record anything without making the other person aware. So thank God for Tennessee. And many people asked us why we didn't take this to court. And it's a logical question. Everybody always says, you know, you sue, right? There are three separate entities that could have been sued. However, win, lose, or draw, we would have been silenced. And you and I would not be having this conversation today. And as conservatives, we have to stand up. We can't take the money and run. We need to stand up. We need to fight for our country more so now than ever. We need to speak out, and we need more people to do it. So I truly hope that my book inspires other people to come forward, because there are not enough of us speaking out on the indoctrination at our universities. On the, it's not even university. It starts in grade school, and people are not speaking out about it. And I often wonder, where is our country going? What are we going to do next? I mean, I'm older. I mean, who's going to be there for us? Who's going to be leading conservatives when we're gone?
We have a few good conservatives out there, like Turning Point USA, LaCroix. You know him. You got Brandon Straka doing his thing with hashtag Walkaway. You got Scott Pressler and things like that. And a lot of the stuff, you got like Matt Gaetz and political wise, and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and even Trump. And look what they're doing to Trump. And you know, and he's right by one thing. If they get to him, who's going to stand between me? They're going to come after us. And they are coming after us.
He's exactly correct. They're using him to get to you and me. That's exactly true. And what they're doing to him, in my opinion, is so illegal that I don't even understand why we're not going after Democrats. Nobody seems to be. I mean, we have a president who doesn't even know that he's the president. And nobody is doing anything about that. And shame on his family for putting him in this position where it's elder abuse, in my opinion. And President Trump is correct about that.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we were talking about a couple of years ago, that why is Joe Biden doing this? But it's all about power, and I think it's also to gather more millions of dollars from various countries that he's been taking in.
Very, very true. Could be. But you named off some wonderful conservatives, and I support them all. You named off amazing conservatives. But we need the everyday person to stand up and say, yes, this happened to me as well. After all this happened to my son, I met with a lot of young women who were at Belmont and other universities, even high school girls, who came to me and said, this is what happened to me. And they don't want to be named, but when they tell you what happened to them, and it happens a lot more to young women. And so what I did is I started a 501c3 nonprofit called United Women Foundation. And what we do is we mentor, we give college scholarships to these young women. We don't want them to be reliant on the government. We want them to be in control of their lives. I mean, the last thing we need is free stuff, because everybody thinks, you know, that's the way to go. And they say free stuff. No, that free stuff comes with a price. So my board and I are teaching our young women, and we're throughout the country, so everybody can join. It's no charge to join. So we're teaching them to be self-reliant. We're teaching them that they can earn a scholarship from us. And the scholarship is not based on your financial situation or on being a straight-A student. It's based on what are you doing right now to be a conservative, and what will you be doing in your future to keep conservatism going. And that's what we base it on. And both our recipients, we're a newer group, both our recipients are very conservative young women, and I'm very proud of them, extremely. We also have Zoom meetings on every second Tuesday of the month because our membership is throughout the country. We mentor our young women. We get them internships with conservative candidates and just conservatives in general. And then we employ them if we can with conservatives. And I've employed 11 this year so far. So our track record is pretty good. So we are looking to reach out. If you're a conservative woman who wants to be on Zoom with us, join us. Just go to our website, which is UnitedWomenFoundation.com. And we welcome everyone from every state. We do have representation in quite a few states, but we're always looking for more, and that scholarship is available. If you're a conservative young woman, join us. Join us so that we can help you find your way without needing help from the government. And that's basically what we all want to do, right?
All right. And that is separate from other things, other places like the Hillsdale College, what they do. Is that separate between those two, you two and them?
Yeah,
or do you work with them?
Strictly. Yes, this is strictly our nonprofit. It's just United Women Foundation, and we're not affiliated with any other group. I mean, I did have
okay.
the pleasure of attending a Turning Point event last month, and it was wonderful. But, no, United Women Foundation does its own scholarships. We do our own meetings, and, yes, you can find us online, and we do our own thing. But all the proceeds mm-hmm. from my book, you can get the book on our website. All the proceeds from my book do go into my foundation.
Okay, so 100% goes directly to the foundation from the book.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you just have to go on our website and buy it. I mean, of course, you know, our publisher has it's selling everywhere. I guess I'm labeled in the radical section where you have to pay at Barnes & Noble to get a copy of my book in advance, and then they will order you one. But there's nothing radical about telling the truth. And the truth is its best defense. And in my book, it's a quick read, but you will find everything that I have described to you and then some. And you will be shocked. People will be shocked. But this is the America we are living in today, even at a conservative Christian university. So I'm very fearful of what's going on at public universities. If this is happening at a conservative Christian school, what is going on at public school?
A lot worse than that, and it goes all the way down from kindergarten. In fact, they want to try to brainwash our kids in preschool. They're trying to get that in, and it's crazy. And when you said that the university, everybody in the university saw for BLM, that's a terrorist organization. They're responsible for a lot of violence. They're tied to Antifa. BLM, first of all, was started by a person by the name of Barack Obama. That was he's the one that started BLM, and his hate towards cops and everything else, and white people, and this country. He worked closely with Antifa. George Soros, and George Soros' son is very pissed off because he knows that Trump gets in, him and his father are going to prison for the rest of their lives if they survive it. So
very true.
So that's you know, and that's why they're doing everything they can. The deep state or the cabal or whatever, communists are trying to do everything they can to stop this. And now when you get Donna Brazile today on the State of the Union saying that the Democrats got it wrong, it's not the same Republican where they could do the same old stuff to do them. But this is a movement that's bigger than Ronald Reagan's, and they're not going to be able to beat it. And that came from Donna Brazile today with Trump, the MAGA movement. And then you got Tucker saying that they can't stop him, so they might try and assassinate him. That's another problem.
That's very frightening. Yes, I did read that as well on Twitter. That's very frightening. But I do feel that I pray for President Trump, and I have met with him. I have sat down with him and talked to him last January. And I do feel that he is there for all of us. He is taking a huge hit for all of America, and he's trying to save our country. And if people see that,
yeah, when you met with him, does it feel like that it's not this thing that they tell you about and everything? But he's down to earth when he talks to you. He listens to you and has his heart. It sounds like you're talking to a grandfather almost. He's that type of love.
What I said was, I mean, he was wonderful. He's funny. If we could all be half as happy as President Trump, we would have a much better world. He's kind. He's genuine.
Yeah.
He's nothing like what they portray on the media. And he is just honestly interested in what you have to say to him. I mean, my son was with me, and he was so happy. He told Stevie he loves Tennessee. He absolutely was thrilled that Stevie is the young Republican chair for our state. I mean, he had a whole conversation with us, and he didn't need to do that. He did that because he cares about the American people. He wants us to live in a free country. He wants to hear what we have to say to him. He is a good person sent to us by God, and I will always stand by him. And I look forward to, you know, being at many of his events coming very soon now in the fall.
Yes, and we're beefing up security with him and everything else because of all the threats now, because he's everything they throw at him, he turns it. This guy is so savvy in the way he does things. Everything they throw at him, he turns it around to benefit all of us, like the mugshot, like everything. He knows how he timed it. So it gets to prime time. He did it all on purpose to get the maximum thing and raise $20 million. It's probably over $30 million now. But the thing is, he is, even though he is the head of MAGA is you and me and your son and everything else going on to fight for this country. You came from a communist country, and you know the difference. Your son is living what you went through, in a way, and so are we.
He was. You're right. While he was at Belmont University, he was. I mean, he did graduate, you know, in April of 2021 successfully, and we did not know if he should attend graduation because, the threats never stopped. The school never addressed anything. So we were all socially distanced, and my son was up in the bleachers waiting his turn. Yes, everyone was masked. He was waiting his turn to be able to just stand up because there was no walking across the stage. And as a parent, my husband and I were very nervous for our son. And I remember sitting there and watching him, waiting for his name to be called. And our son insisted on being there. He never once wanted to leave Belmont. He wanted to graduate from there. And when his name was called, I mean, he was surrounded by people who hate him. When his name was called, he actually stood up, took his mask down. He pointed his finger at the stage where the president was, gave a thumbs up, and gave a wave, and put his mask back on and sat down. So he did get the last laugh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. Not many people know it, but years ago when I ran for Congress back in 2011 and 2012, and down here against Debbie Wasserman Schultz initially, I ran out of money. But the deal is that we were getting threats even that time. And my son was like 5 years old, and he's got death threats on him. Put your hand in the garbage disposal, die from that, all that type of stuff. So I know what you were going through. It's horrible, but this is politics, and this is evil, and it's wrong. And that's why a lot of good people that wanted to stand up and be counted and do something, give back to the country, are afraid to because of all this stuff that's going on. And it's wrong.
It is wrong. It's very wrong. And you're right. People are afraid. I mean, these young women who are with United Women Foundation, the stories they share with me are horrible, and they are afraid. They are totally afraid of the left coming after them. And they don't want to be beat up. They don't want to be harassed. They don't. And I can't blame them, but I try to empower them as much as possible so that they do stand up for themselves. But it is very difficult. But we need parents. I mean, I wrote this book to appeal mostly yes, I wanted to call out a conservative Christian school, but primarily I like this book I'd like it to be an educational tool for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles that, yes, this is what is going on at college campuses. If it happened to my son, it'll happen to your child as well. So I want parents to be prepared because if we start the conversation like you and I are, your listeners will be able to go out, you know, and learn something and talk about, you know, this is what happened to, you know, Stevie Giorno, and his mom wrote this book, and I want people to know what's going on. I believe in full transparency. I believe that we need to be educated so that we can fight properly with the right tools.
I believe that's going to wake up a lot of people. And I think ever since what happened in Virginia with that 14-year-old getting raped by a transgender person, that's woke up parents, and that started a parent movement around the country. And even in places like San Francisco, they got rid of the ultra-left-wing school board members. So things can change. But parents, I guess, but that's a big thing. See, one of the things that we got to learn, and you've went through it, and a lot of parents are going through it, is that the Democrats / communists, because I call them that, they believe that it's their kids, not you as parents. And they have no, and as a parent, you have no control over your kids. They have total control, and that's what they want. That's communism, pure and simple. And they want to control your kids and how they learn. They indoctrinate them. They recruit them. They do all kinds of CRTs, the transgender garbage and stuff like that. We do have, you know, in Florida, we got DeSantis with what he got rid of, all that stuff. But we still have school board members that or teachers that still try to indoctrinate our kids. And that's got to stop. We need to arrest these parents. If the parents agree to indoctrinate these kids, those parents, those kids are in danger. But these school teachers and the school board members, if they try it, they shouldn't be teachers or school board members. They should be fired and arrested immediately for child abuse.
I agree. We need to have teachers go back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic and not telling our children what to think and how to think. We need them to go back to the basics, and that's it. In our homes, parents need to be more proactive. Like, I mean, we always have dinner together as a family. And so you talk about what happened at school, how was your day and whatnot. And I do feel that, sadly, due to the economy, we have a lot of families where both parents have to work. They don't have a choice. And these kids come home, and they're home alone. But we need to figure out a way to get back to basics, where we have good old-fashioned conversation, no TV on, just sitting at the dinner table, the kitchen table, just talking to our kids. And I think that is so much more important than anything else a parent can do.
That's the basics that we need to get, and it's the values and morals and the moral compass that we're missing. And we need to make sure that the cell phones are shut down and the computers are shut off while you're having dinner.
I agree completely. The TV, the computer, the cell phone, the whole nine yards. I mean, I don't think children all need a phone at the age of, I don't know, I hear they get younger and younger by the day. I don't think they all need cell phones. I don't like the fact that many schools have all their books on Chromebooks or Macs. I don't like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading out of a book, a textbook, for example, and parents have more control that way. But unfortunately, you know, technology is a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and then what they're teaching these kids, especially K, the early years, kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth grade, that's when you build the foundation for education learning. That's indoctrinating our kids to be something like, when's the last time, you know, these kids, I'm a boy, I want to be a girl instead, and that's 5 years old, but they don't know anything. You know, it's crazy.
They don't know anything. They don't know anything, and I don't know of any parent that would be supportive of that. Once again, though, I'm blessed to live in a state that does not support that. So I realize that many states do, but I don't know what kind of a parent. I mean, it's child abuse. I don't know, in my opinion, I don't know what kind of a parent would be supportive of that. It's beyond me. I mean, a five-year-old can't make that kind of decision. I mean, I just became a grandmother, and it's our first, and there's no way. I mean, you know, she's 2 months old. I can't even imagine her saying, I can't even imagine it. I mean, yes, it does happen. I do believe that we need to address some mental health issues in this country, and I do think we need to address that. But I also feel that parents need to get back to basics, like I said earlier. I mean, what's going on? Are we not going to church? Are we not reading the Bible? Are we not? I mean, this is a God-fearing country. We need to go back to reading Bibles to our children from the day they're born.
We got one major problem. We have a pope that sounds like more of a communist than an actual pope.
I am not Catholic, so I can't really comment to that. But we're Christians, so
okay.
I really don't know what. We're not Catholic, so I'm sorry, I can't comment to that.
No, it's not a problem. It's the only thing is that it's hard to have the basics when the basics are being shredded around by different churches, and that's a
mm-hmm.
problem. And the young people are not going to church.
Young people aren't going to church, but that's because parents aren't setting the example. I mean, we always had a rule in our home. If you wanted to have brunch on a Sunday, you first had to go to church. If you didn't go to church, you weren't getting that brunch at that restaurant, and that was it. And you'd be surprised, a little motivation goes a long way.
Right, it goes a little way, especially if they like the restaurant you're going to.
Exactly,
but,
that's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to do what it takes. I mean, yeah, some people say you bribe your kids. No, my children are Christians, and going to brunch was a bonus. But if that's what it takes to get your 5 or 6-year-old to understand this is what we do, it starts with tradition.
Yeah.
And I know that my boys will carry on that tradition with their children. I just know that.
Well, I want to tell you, your son is a fighter, definitely a big-time fighter, and he's not going to give up, and he's going to keep fighting. And so it sounds like it's you and your husband and the whole family's that way, so that's a good thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I would like for people to get the book. I mean, they can get it on Amazon as well. It's on Amazon. Obviously, Barnes & Noble will order it for you if you'd like. And this was sent to me by, I didn't know about this, a gentleman in Utah who doesn't know me. He actually sent me a message saying that my book is not available at the store because I am radical. My book is considered radical. So it has to be paid for and ordered. But you can go to Amazon and you can get it there. And, I mean, it's doing very well. Yesterday we were ranking in the top 10, so it's doing very well, and we're very happy with it. But parents need to know what's going on. And once you read the book, I think once we start a conversation, I think PTA meetings will be a lot different than they have been now.
Yes, that's when was the last time? Because the PTA, down here, the parent teachers, the PTA meetings, well, very rare, because when we brought up our son, we went to school, we didn't have that much of a PTA. We'd get once in a while to call, you know, to talk in, but they used to have, when I grew up, they used to have, every month there used to be a PTA meeting, and 3 or 4 times a semester, a quarter, we used to have where the parents actually go into the classroom and everything.
Right.
Just for usually,
yeah,
I mean,
we did have that even at Belmont University for freshman orientation. Parents were allowed to; they were encouraged to come to school with their son, and we were told there would be no bullying, there would be no harassing. That it was a zero policy tolerance. But it just turned out to be different. But you're right. I mean, I do feel that Moms for Liberty does an excellent job. I mean, they really have woken up a lot of people. And
there you go.
I use that term to our benefit. But I do feel Moms for Liberty is an excellent organization. I mean, they're everywhere. And I know they started in Florida. And Moms for Liberty is out there fighting for our kids every day. And I look forward to working with them at some point because I think it's a great group. But if your child's school doesn't have regular meetings, start them. Call administration, start them. Start these meetings, even if you have to do it in your own home, and invite other parents over and say, here's the curriculum that my child brought home from such and such a class. Start a conversation. The big thing is we all need to start conversations. There are a lot of us. You and I both know that. But unless we band together, nothing's going to change.
A couple of things. One, I work with Moms for Liberty a lot. I'm part of their group, even though I'm not a mom, but Scarlett is. And we're working on helping moms stand up and protect the kids from the schools down here in Broward County and the rest of the state of Florida and other areas. Would you believe the left calls Moms for Liberty a terrorist organization?
I'm sure they do.
They hate us.
I'm sure they do, yes. Do you expect anything different?
No. So, so that's a big thing there. Before I let you go, a couple of things. One, which did you like better, Newsmax or OINN?
I think they're both doing great jobs. I mean, they've been wonderful. They've been wonderful to us. I look forward to being back on both networks. I think they're doing an incredible job, and I mean, I want to give a shout out to everybody who's had me on there. I mean, I've been very active on media and many media outlets, and you as well. Thank you so much. But
anytime.
I mean, I'm willing to speak. I'm willing to speak, speak out to anyone. We definitely need to get the word out, and we need to talk about it. But you're doing a great job, and I thank you for everything you're doing for conservatives.
Thank you again, and it's great. And by the way, I don't know if you know, but starting Tuesday, Greg Kelly's now on at 9 o'clock, and they did the right squad on at 10, and everything else stayed the same. They just left that.
Okay.
So they
Thank
moved
you.
Around. So I'll let you know on that, because I don't know which one of those that you're on or all of them. And OINN stays the same. And, of course, we also work with Right Side Broadcasting Network, which RSBN, that covers all the Trump rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with that and Joey and all that stuff. So we've been hitting with that. So it's good. And Dan Vigino.
On the smaller scale bookstores around where you live, do you engage in book signings?
We are looking forward to doing quite a few book signings. And actually, my home state is Illinois, and I'm looking forward to doing some book signings in Illinois. Very much so. But, yes, we are doing book signings.
That is going into the Lions Den in some ways.
That's okay.
You live in Cook County?
I did live in Cook County. Yes, I did. And I will tell you, I spoke up there.
You're a lucky woman.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you honestly, I spoke up there recently to two conservative groups, two different counties, not Cook, of course, but two different counties, and we were received, it was wonderful. I mean, there are a lot of conservatives up there. There are a lot. However, for some reason, Cook County we're never going to get, but if we can get the rest of the state, which we virtually have, we will be able to move forward, and we will flip Illinois one day. Trust me, we will flip Illinois. I'm not giving up on Illinois because I was born there.
There's some movement to try and split to Illinois. Same thing with Oregon and Washington. There's movement to succeed from the left-wing part of the state.
Mm-hmm. Which would be all of Cook County, basically. That would be all of Cook County.
Yeah.
There's been talk of that, but I think we can do it. I was treated very well. Stevie was with me. Stevie and I speak throughout the country, and so we have spoken in Florida many a times. We've spoken in Illinois. We speak here in Tennessee. We get booked out pretty well, and I think it's because the message we're bringing is not. There are a lot of people who, you're right, we talked about it earlier, there are a lot of young people who do get harassed and bullied for their beliefs. However, not many of them are willing to say, hey, this is what happened to me, and you can read about it, and you can meet me. And our son is. So our son is putting himself out there, and I'm putting myself out there. And so we're willing to speak anywhere anyone wants us. We have a friend in New York, and so we're going to be doing a speaking engagement out there. There are conservatives out there in California, too.
Yeah.
Orange County is full of them. So we are willing to travel.
Yeah.
We're willing to, I mean, Montana is, we're willing to go to all these states. We just want to get the word out. We want people to know what's going on, and we will do whatever it takes.
Well, this show is worldwide, so you got the word out that way, and we listen to millions of people listen worldwide. We're like in 130 nations worldwide, this show was listened to.
Wonderful.
So, And that's a big thing there, plus the podcast and all that. So all that's good. Again, young people is very important. From what I hear from Charlie Kirk and the Turning Point and the young Republicans and stuff, is growing. And you should see the crowd, well, you've been to one of them, crowd size is expanding, especially the last couple of years. And I think the Gen Z crowd is going to start flipping as they see they can't pay for things. And they can't. Yeah.
I agree. They can't buy a home. They can't, you know, they can't get a home. I mean, there's so many things they can't afford. Groceries are expensive. And I do find that more young people are still living at home because of that. But we live in Biden economics. And, yes, when gasoline is as expensive as it is, home prices are outrageous. The interest rate is high. It's very difficult for young people. My father came here in 1956 legally. And my father did not know English, so the first thing he did was go to night school for English, and he got a job with an Italian company in Chicago, Palumbo, because my dad spoke Italian. But he felt it important to learn English. And my dad became an American citizen. He even changed his name from Andrew to Andrew. My father was the biggest patriot you would ever have met in your life, and he called America his home. And he considered himself to be an American. He spent 57 years of his life here. He passed away at 90 and a half. My father taught my kids what communism is, what it is to be free. My mother and father both came from Yugoslavia. My mother was a PhD tenured professor at Loyola University. She'd be appalled at what's going on right now throughout the country. But my parents taught my kids. Unfortunately, Stevie did not know my mother because she passed away a year before he was born. But my dad has only been gone 10 years now, and he was a wealth of knowledge, and he educated my boys on what it is to be a proud American. And I think that since we did have that, and I lived in communist Yugoslavia, we have a greater appreciation for freedom than I think most people do, because we actually witnessed it, we lived it.
And when you tell people that, they don't get it, some of it, but it's starting to get it now from what's going on in this country, because right now this is communism that's here, and staying very, very dangerous because of the Constitution. Stevie and your father and everybody and you are very proud of it being shredded every second of the day, and that's what we're doing is exposing that and fighting for it. The Constitution, and that's why our theme song, the opening song, is John Adams, which is part of that. So we want to make sure that the world knows that we're at war with the communists, and they're here, and they're destroying this country. So you're doing a great job in showing everything in the fight, so I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. But, yes, I mean, I just we need people to get the book, we need people to read up on it, and we need people to join us in our fight and our movement.
Can you tell our listening audience where to get the book and,
sure.
and your website and how to sign up for the women's group, United Women's Foundation?
Thank you so much. Yes, the book is called Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. I wrote it. I'm Gloria Giorno. The foreword is done by Sam Sorbo, who is an amazing conservative, and I'm honored that she did my foreword. I'm honored. And you can get the book at Amazon, obviously Barnes & Noble somehow if you order it, and you can get it everywhere, wherever books are sold. Also, if you would like to be a part of our group and get it through us, those proceeds all go to United Women Foundation. Our website is unitedwomenfoundation.com. We welcome all women to join us and join us on Zoom, join us in person, meet with us, and we ask conservative young women to especially join us. We're here for you. The left wants to glamorize being a Democrat. We're here for you to show you that you don't need to be a leftist to be glamorous, to be successful, to be a mother, a business owner, a wife, anything you want to be, and we're here to help you. So go to UnitedWomenFoundation.com, and we are here to help you. And maybe you'll get a scholarship out of it. We want to help.
I want to thank you for coming on. We're down to the last nitty-gritty. I want to thank you again. You and your son, we're very proud of both of you and your family for this. It's very important. We'll be marketing this show all over the place. I know you have been doing it, so we get the word out, so we can get these books out, and to get people to join the United Women's Conservative Group, you know, the foundation.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much, and all are welcome. And yes, maybe, you know, we'll catch up again. You know, I'll let you know how things are going down the road. Love to be back.
Yeah, we'll
touch. And
yes. We'll touch base, and we'll let you back on. We'll ask you to come back on anytime you want to promote that. Keep us a status on that and how your son is doing. And if he decides to run for office down the line in Tennessee, and I got a feeling he will, just let us know and we'll get him on.
Oh, thank you. He's more than happy to talk to you anytime you'd like. Just, you know, let me know.
Yeah. Unless you decide to run for office, too, and then you got competing for members.
No, my calling, definitely, no. I feel that people are called to run for office, and where I live, I feel that I do have a lot of very, very good representation here, and so I do not feel the need. I am called to work with young women and women throughout the country who are being discriminated against. My calling is United Women Foundation, so that is my passion.
That is the United Women Foundation, and I'm sure our listeners will go out there to join up all the women to do that, to be part of that, and to do things. And your son, on the other hand, is heading in that direction with the Young Republicans and all that, and he's able to take the hit, and that's a big thing. And he's able to deflect. So I think he will run down the line somewhere.
I don't know. He's in the private sector right now, and he is representing Tennessee very well, I think. But we can never say never. We don't know what will happen down the line. You're right.
Yeah, that's true. And he's welcome to come on the show and give his take, either with the book or anything else. Or if he decides he's got an issue, he's always welcome.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'll definitely connect you. And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate everything you're doing. It's been a pleasure speaking with both of you.
Thank you again for coming on, and have a great evening. And
just
keep up the fight.
Thank you. We'll all do that. And happy Labor Day to both of you.
Happy Labor Day.
Thank you, your family.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, we're coming towards the end of the show. We got just a couple minutes left. Scarlett, you have anything to say?
I'll be back on Wednesday. I didn't have a weekday dysfunction.
No, okay.
I'll be back on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Call in 515-602-9657. Everyone, God bless America. And MAGA will win. Because this country is great. We will hold the traitors accountable. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Okay. Again, we'll be on Wednesday at 8 p.m. I want to thank Gloria and Giano. She and her book. We got to make sure everybody goes out and get the book at Outkast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. Also, if you go to a website and go and sign up for the United Women Foundation, it's important. Go out there. I want to thank also our listeners in the chat room and everyone across the country and around the world. I'd like to thank Duck, Northwestern Media, and his listening to us in the chat, among others. And I want to thank everybody there. We'll be on again on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Truth Is Out There Voice of the People Media Network, the Truth Is Out There Voice of the People Radio Show. You can check us out on our website, thetruthisthetruth.net. Like I said, we got to keep on flying. Don't forget, Friday up in South Dakota, there'll be a big Trump rally. We'll talk about that on Wednesday and go over on Sunday in between. Check our podcast out, and we'll continue to fight because I want to tell you something. What's happening in the universities is happening all the way down to the kindergarten level and some. We as parents have to stand up and fight and be counted. We must be counted and take back our kids because the Democrats slash communists, they control this. They want to control your kids from the beginning to the end. They want their kids to want our kids, your kid, my kid, our kids to be pure communists, tell them dictators and stuff, and they hate conservatives and conservative values and all that. So we have to stand up and be counted and be parents again and make sure our kids are being educated properly, reading, writing, arithmetic, and not some kind of political gender or any other gender besides. They have to be able to go out and do their thing and not be silenced and eliminate our beliefs, whether it be a college kid or that 13-year-old that had the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag on the backpack, or anyone in between. That's what we need to make sure that they have the right to say, because our Constitution is called free speech, First Amendment. We have that ability, and we cannot allow that to shut us down. Anyway, I want to thank you again for coming on, everyone for coming on the show. Thank you again, Gloria Giamont, and the book again. Go out, get the book, Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. Don't forget to join United Women Foundation. And again, have a great evening, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.